Well, let's just go right into the Word of God. I'm just excited about what God has put on my heart to preach today. We pray that it will be a blessing to you. John chapter 8. And while you're finding it, if you just take a moment and bow your heads. Just want to ask God's blessing upon this word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now thanking you for the privilege you've given us to come in this place today to share your word. Now, God, let your word penetrate our hearts and our minds, that we leave here better than we were when we came. And we're going to give you glory. We're going to give you honor. We're going to give you praise in Jesus' precious name. And all the people of God said, amen. Well, I want to just talk for a few moments from the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'm just going to be reading just a few moments from just a few verses, rather, beginning at verse 3. It says these words: the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They said this to test him so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened her up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No, sir, or no, Lord." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." I recently read a story about a young boy who wanted to buy a puppy from a farmer who had puppies for sale. The little boy had only 30 cents, but the man said to him, "Listen, that's enough to buy one of these puppies." So he let out a loud whistle and called Dolly. And out from the doghouse ran Dolly, followed by four beautiful little puppies. The little boy pressed his face against the fence and his eyes danced with delight. However, the little boy noticed something else stirring in the doghouse. Slowly, another puppy appeared. He was smaller than the others, and he hobbled his way toward the other little puppies. The little boy said, "I want that one." The farmer said, "You couldn't possibly want that one. He would never be able to run. He would never be able to play with you like all the other dogs do." The little boy then pulled up the leg of his pants, and in doing so, he revealed a steel brace running down both sides of his leg, and it was attached to a specially made shoe. The little boy said to the farmer, "See, mister, I don't run too well myself, and he would need someone who understands." Well, both sinners and saints alike need someone who understands them, need someone who loves them, not for who they can be, but for who they are. Someone who's messed up, someone whose lives are not all together. They need someone who loves them and understands them just as they are. Now, don't think I'm saying that God condones sin. I'm not saying that. Because God is holy, and in his holiness, he hates sin. But the thing about God is that God knows what we're made of. And according to Psalm 103, verse 14, he knows our frame. And he remembers that we are but dust. So today I just want to talk just for a few moments from the subject, someone who understands. It's good news is we have someone who understands. In the context, Jesus is teaching in the temple, and a group of men brought a woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery. And she was caught with some unknown man. And verse 3 says, the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. The focus was not really on the woman, but the focus was on Jesus. They wanted to entrap Jesus, and they didn't care if they destroyed this woman's reputation. They didn't care if they destroyed her marriage, if she was the one who was married. They didn't care if they destroyed her family, if she had a family. She was just a pawn in the scheme of these men to entrap Jesus. They wanted to embarrass Jesus. And in wanting to embarrass Jesus, they were willing to destroy the life and the reputation of this particular unknown woman. I want to look at three things. First of all, the accusation of the men. First thing they did, they described her sin. Listen to what they said. They said, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. But not only did they describe her sin, they defined the law. They said, now Moses in the law commanded us that such be stoned. They described her sin, they defined the law, but then they demanded a decision from Jesus. They said, but what do you say? They knew the law. They knew that in the law in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 20, they knew that the Bible says a man who commits adultery with another man's wife goes on to say, and both shall be put to death. It didn't say she should, it says they should. So the question is, where was the man? If they were so concerned about the sin, where was the guy who was involved with the woman in committing the sin? Why was he not brought with her? And there are some possible reasons. I don't know. He could have escaped. He could have been part of the plot to entrap Jesus. Or he could have just simply bought off his accusers. We don't know. But the fact is, this sin of adultery was not really the issue. Because if that had been the issue, they would have brought both parties to Jesus. They thought that they had him in the horns of dilemma. Because if Jesus had said, well, stone her, he would lose the people. His reputation of being a friend of sinners and publicans would have been shot all to pieces. He would have been criticized for lacking mercy and compassion. He would have also been guilty of kind of breaking the Roman law, which did not consider adultery worthy of death. And so if he had said stone her, his reputation would have taken a hit because he was known as a friend of sinners and a friend of publicans. If he had said, well, let her go, then he would have been he would be going against and contradicting the law. He would be also be accused of being too lenient with sin. And so they thought they had Jesus trapped. Verse 6, the A clause says, they said this testing him that they might have something off which to accuse him. And so we see the accusation of the men, but we also see the answer of the Christ. Verse 6b clause said, but Jesus stooped down and he wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Jesus responded to that question not by answering them at the moment, but by writing on the ground. And this is the only record of Jesus writing anything. Yet more has been written about him than any other person in the history of the world. I've always wondered, when I first read this as a teenager, I wondered, what did Jesus write? And I've wondered through the years, just what did he write? The Bible doesn't tell us, but you know, I have this inquisitive mind, and so I began to think of some things he could have written. He could have written down the name of a town or a city or a hamlet where some of the people who came with her had gone to sow some of their wild oats. He could have written Fort Lauderdale. He could have written West Palm Beach. He could have written Delray. He could have written some other place where some of these guys had gone to sow their wild oats. He could have just written someone's name. The Bible doesn't tell us what he wrote, but whatever he wrote surely got their attention. And the good thing I love about Christ is he knows how to get our attention. The Bible says, once he finished writing, he stood up and he said, you can stone her. Says, stones can be cast at her, but there are certain limitations. You want to stone her? Go ahead. But the only way you can stone her is you have to live up to this. He that is without sin, let him throw the first stone. He says, the person, the one of you who is standing here before me, who is not guilty of this sin, either act or mind or heart, or if not this sin, some other sin. If you are not guilty of any sin, I will give you the stone to throw at her. You be the first one to throw the stone. And these were Pharisees. These were scribes. These were the religious elite. But Jesus wanted them to know that casting stones is not based upon how much scripture you know, nor how great your callings and your gifts are, nor what your position is, but it is based upon moral goodness and perfection. And no one has achieved that except Jesus Christ. Jesus exposed them for what they were. They were hypocrites trying to play men who were righteous in order to trap Jesus. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. He says these words, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a beam is in your own eye? Hypocrite. He says, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. At this particular point, all the shouting about stoning this woman came to a halt. And all that you could hear, rocks dropping all over the ground and the shuffling of feet as they were trying to get out as quickly as they could, because they came face to face with themselves. And the Bible says, they left from the eldest to the youngest. I believe the elders understood what Jesus was doing from the time he started writing. And they started dropping their stones and started leaving immediately, because they understood that they had nothing in them that will allow them, that would allow them to be stone throwers. And then lastly, we have the Lord's acquittal of the woman. We have the accusation of the men. We have the answers of Christ. And now the acquittal of the woman. These men came to condemn her. Jesus wanted to forgive her. He was the only one. He was the only one qualified. He was the only one qualified to throw a stone. But he refused to do it. The Bible says in verse 10, and when Jesus raised himself up and saw her, he said to her, woman, where are those who accuse you? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. Here's what one writer wrote. She had reached the place in her life where it was just her and Jesus. And it always comes down to that, my brothers and sisters. Eventually, somewhere, someday, each of us are going to have to face him. And what you do when that happens can be the difference between spending eternity with him or apart from him. Notice what she calls him. She calls him Lord. By her simple confession of Jesus Christ as Lord, salvation became hers. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And Jesus saw her heart. Jesus saw her faith. And Jesus did not say, notice now, Jesus did not say, sin no more and I won't condemn you. He did not say, as long as you are outwardly demonstrating a sinless life, I won't condemn you. He said, I don't condemn you. Sin no more. I don't condemn you for what you have already done. He says, but, let me paraphrase. He says, but don't do that anymore. He says, sin no more. Jesus both covered her and corrected her. See, there are a lot of people into correcting, but not enough into covering. There are a lot of people who are excited and happy to condemn someone for what they have done, but there are not enough who will love them back to health. And we need people who are willing to love people back to health. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that someone loved me back to health. When I could have been stoned, when I could have been condemned, when I could have been cast out, someone took the time to love me back to health. Jesus covered her, but then he corrected her. He acknowledged her sin. He did not excuse her because there was no excuse. He did not cover it up, because it was out in the open. But the thing he did, he forgave her. He gave her a balanced message. He told her, now that you are forgiven, go forward. Don't spend any time looking back. Don't spend any time worrying about those who condemn you. You move forward with your life. And don't allow yourself to get caught up in this anymore. Go and sin no more. I know he wasn't talking about go and sin no more, because the Bible said we all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Bible says, well, that which is not of faith is sin. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is stepping outside of the divine assigned boundaries. And see, all of us today, if God were to turn our life on that screen, and he doesn't have to go too far in the past. If he just turned maybe the past 2 weeks, I am sure we would have said something, we would have done something, we would have acted in a certain way that was diametrically opposite of what the Word of God says. And if he were to show our life on that screen, a whole lot of us, maybe not you, but if he were to show my life on that screen, if he were to show the last week of my life on that screen, I would be like those guys. I would do like they used to do in the old church. I would put my fingers up and I would ease out, because I would be too embarrassed for you to know that that was me. All of us have gone contrary to the will of God. I'm closing with this. I don't know how long she had been shackled. I do not know how long she had been bound by sin. The Bible doesn't tell us. I do not know if adultery was a lifestyle or was just a heat of the moment thing. I don't know. I don't know how long she had been a prisoner of her own lusts and desires. All I know is once she met Jesus, he unlocked the shackles that held her bound. That held her bound, and he set her free. He set her free. The good news of the gospel is no matter what has you bound, Jesus can set you free. And the Bible says the person that the Son sets free is free indeed. Listen, Jesus still specializes in turning ruined and wasted lives, in taking ruined and wasted lives, and by his grace, saving them and setting them free. I'm sure that there are those of you who are here today could be a witness and can be a witness that you've not always been what you are today. But one day, Christ came into your life and took your life and set you free. Praise the Lamb of God. And every person who comes to Jesus for salvation gets a new lease on life. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, any person be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. All things are passing away, and all things are becoming new. We become new creatures. And even tonight, today, if you are like this woman, some of you may be like this woman, your life has been wrecked and ruined by sin. Maybe you've been hurt by some religious people. Maybe you've been looking for love in all the wrong places. And you need a Savior who understands, who's been tempted in just like we are. The only difference between him and us is he's without sin. You need a Savior who understands and who wants to give you a brand new lease on life. And I want to introduce you or reintroduce you to the one who can do it. His name is Jesus. You know his name. We've sung about him. We've celebrated his death and suffering for our sins through Holy Communion. And the good news is he loves us. In spite of us, in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of the fact that we don't live up to his expectations of us, in spite of the fact
that we go contrary to his will, to his word. He still loves us today, and he wants to deliver us from whatever is holding us bondage. He wants to set you free. He died on Calvary for us. And I invite you today. There are those of you who do not have a personal relationship with him. I don't know. But if there are those of you today who do not have a personal relationship with him, I want you to know just how much he loves you. He loves you just as much or more than he loved, just as much as he loved this woman in John chapter 8. Who was caught in sin, who was caught in the very act. There was nothing she could say about it. She was caught. And yet Jesus loved her back to health, so to speak. And today, I hear him saying, the person who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what your needs are. It doesn't matter what your sin may be. And maybe some of you today, maybe you're saying, well, this doesn't apply to me because I'm all right. I'm all right. I don't, this does not apply to me. I've never been caught in any of that. But some of us, you know, let me put it this way. Some people think adultery, lying, murder, the only sins. I know you all don't. But you can be 100 years old and the sin of your will can have you messed up. Doesn't matter what it is. You might not commit adultery, but the bottom line is you might not love people like you should. And Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's Dottie Rambo. Dottie Rambo wrote a song some years ago that sums up what I'm trying to say. Today, whatever your need is, Jesus is able to supply. He can take your life and he can change your life and make you a new creature. Just a little of the chorus. Bring all of your needs to the altar. Bring all your needs to the Lord. Jesus is so willing and able to help you bring all your needs to the Lord. I just want to pray with you. At the end of the service, people are going to come and they're going to be in prayer for those who need prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, there may be those in this building whose lives are nowhere near what this woman experienced. But they still need your touch today. They need a savior. They need someone who understands, someone who cares, someone who's willing to reach down where they are and change their lives. Give them the comfort. Give them what they need at this hour. And we're going to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.